Hello and a warm welcome to this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. And oh yes, it's Derby Day. We're going to be previewing the action from Epsom on Saturday. The Derby obviously being the highlight on the card, coming at 4:30 on ITV1. Really looking forward to that and really looking forward to hearing our panel's opinions on the big race. But who is the panel this week, you may ask? We've got Matt Gardner and Graham Robway from the Racing Post. And of course, from Unibet, we have Ed Nixon. Ed, this race so special to many. I bet you can't wait to be there on Saturday.
Yeah, fantastic occasion, isn't it? I mean, I remember back when we used to run on a Wednesday. That's how old I am. But it's always been a great race. Whoever wins a derby, you always follow for the rest of the year. But there hasn't been an outstanding winner for some time. So let's hope one of these wins by a long way and we can look forward to a summer of them going through all the top races.
Absolutely, yeah. We'll see if we have got a superstar in the field. But before we get on to the big race preview, let's just have a quick chat about last weekend. We saw the Irish 2000 Guineas and Rosalian and Hartem, Unibet ambassador Richard Hanman having the 1-2, a close 1-2 in the Irish 2000 Guineas. Ed, I'll come back to you quickly here. What a great result this was. And looks like he's got two star miles on his hands.
He has. We hopefully you're going to see a video shortly. We went to the stables to talk to him about the race. He was in tremendous spirits. I've never seen him so happy, as you would expect. A 1-2 in the Irish 2000. And he was saying how much love Hatim was getting. He said he's never had so much love for a horse that's lost the race. He said they all thought he ran a tremendous race. And he blamed himself for running him over the wrong distance previously. But yeah, be interested to see which route they go. A lot of mile races, but I've got a feeling Hatton might come back to seven. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to see which way they go, because they'll keep bumping into each other if they have to go for those big mile races.
Absolutely. And like Ed mentioned there, there's a great clip here of Richard Hannon talking about the plans for those two horses moving forward.
Here we are, a few days on from winning your third classic with Rosalian in the Irish 2000 Guineas. But it wasn't just that, because you got the second as well in Hatton. I mean, just first of all, talk us through your emotions watching the race.
Oh, it was an amazing day, you know, to finish first, second and third in Newmarket was utterly galling. And it was amazing, you know, but it didn't go right for Hartem. Sorry, for Rosalian. He was stuck wide, he was a bit keen early doors. And he had to make up a lot of ground. That was impressive. And a lot of people don't give him the credit he deserves for that. Hartem just did his usual thing, you know, he's just a gentleman, an extremely good horse, tough, honest, consistent. And a pleasure to have around. If one of them had to get beat. I did say to someone the day before, could you imagine if they dead heated? And I remember I was sitting at home and I was actually thought about it. I mean, how weird is that? But I was thoroughly pleased with both horses. It was a great day and I think they both thoroughly deserved, you know, to run the races they did. And they're both going to go on to Royal Ascot now. Rosalian will definitely go to the St. James Palace Stakes. Hartem, there's a few things up in the air, but they'll both be, you know, they're going to make it an extremely good race at St. James Palace Stakes and, you know, hopefully a win.
Yeah. So there we go, Richard Hannon talking there about those two star horses. Matt, were you impressed by both these horses and what could you see them going on to doing for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I'm not sure it told us anything new about Rosalian, in the sense that he just sort of repeat. It was a repeat of that Newmarket form was sort of enough, but I thought he did pretty well to win, to be honest. He got caught quite a long way back. I still think he's, you know, a clash between him and the Newmarket winner will be really good to see. Hartem's one of those annoying horses for me, in that I always sort of underplay him a little bit. He kind of keeps on getting better through the season and they end up better than I think they're going to be. So I always get caught out by those a bit. But I do like Rosalian and I'm looking forward to him meeting Notable Speech again.
Absolutely, yeah. Graham Robway, those big races, the St. James's Palace Stakes obviously coming up. You can have the Sussex Stakes, big races in France over a mile, even potentially a trip to the Breeders' Cup. The mile division could become quite exciting in the next few months.
Yeah, we were just talking about this, actually, Sam, in our Royal Ascot planning meeting at the Racing Post. How exciting this St. James's Palace Stakes is shaping up to be, the big rematch between, obviously, the first two in the Guineas. My inkling was was that maybe the best horse finished second in that 2000 Guineas. I thought he travelled really well, Rosalian, and maybe just got picked off by Notable Speech, who was ridden a bit more patient. But we'll find out if I'm right, won't we, come Ascot. I thought he did remarkably well to win, Sam, the 2000 Guineas, Rosalian, because I thought he did an awful lot wrong in the race. He pulled very hard, couldn't really get settled at the back of the field, and I thought there was no way he would win from about a furlong out and half out. But he really kept on strongly, so... as I think we said last week, you know, the Hannons have had horses like Barney Roy. They've had Camford Cliffs, of course, get beaten in the Guineas and then go on to be outstanding milers. So I reckon that Rosalian could be in the same mould as those two, Sam.
Okay, yeah, really, really exciting. If you want to find out more about these Richard Hannon horses, like I say, you've seen the video clip there, but you'll be able to see more via Unibet and on the Racing Postcast. We'll be following them here on the Racing Postcast as well. So do look out for some great clips moving forward. And Richard Hannon is going to have a big runner in the big race this weekend. It's where we're going to kick off this week. We're going to kick off with the Derby at 4:30, 1 mile, 4 furlongs, 1.5 miles. Group one classic here, where City of Troy, at the last time I checked, it was 100-30 favourite. Los Angeles, 7-2. Ancient Wisdom, 5-1. Ambiente Friendly, 6-1. Dancing Gemini, 11s. Macduff is 12. The Hannon Runner Voyage is 18-1. Bellum Justum, 20-1. We're looking at bigger the rest. Like I say, these prices were correct at the time of recording. Ed, straight to you here. There might have been a few market movers in the time this recording's gone out, but who are the big movers from the traders at Unibet?
Well, there's been three major moves, I would say, in the last 2 months or so. City of Troy, as we all know, was a talking horse throughout the winter. And before he lined up for the Guineas, he was 6-4 to win the Epsom Derby. But as soon as he disappointed in the Guineas, we pushed him out to 5-1. Which maybe seems not that much, you know. Perhaps we should have gone a bit further, but over the next 6 or 7 days, he was backed into 7-2. So he's always been there or thereabouts, 5-1 at 7-2 since his last racecourse appearance. He's been drawn stall one, I believe, which is not the. I mean, it seems funny, doesn't it, that a mile and a half race we're talking about the draw, but we used to have an ambassador called Jamie Spencer, who actually took us through the draw and how it affects a horse's run. And he said it matters a lot in the early stages of the race, being drawn low. And I think only one stall one winner was won since Oath in 1999. That was a Yada, whatever it's called. And stall two has not had many winners either. So that would be, I'd be worried about that stall one. And City of Troy is the favourite, but there's a lot of money coming for Los Angeles, and he might actually be the Aidan O'Brien horse that goes off favourite, I think. Unbeaten, does like soft ground. There's a question mark about what the going will be. Lots of rain forecast for Thursday night and Friday. Saturday looks dry, so it's very difficult to work out what the going is going to be. But if it was to turn up soft, I think Los Angeles would definitely go a favourite. He might even go a favourite if he doesn't. And then the money horse for us is Ancient Wisdom. We actually pushed him out after Dante to 10-1 from sevens, and probably on the back of the news that economics wasn't running, we saw a lot of support, and he's been backed into 5-1, 11-2 straight after. On the 26th of May, we were 11-2, and he's going to go off probably around about that price, you would have thought. But they're the two big ones, Ancient Wisdom and City of Troy for money. And then yesterday, given the weather conditions, we kind of got an interesting run of money on God's Window, which I thought was quite an interesting 100-1 shot. It's now, I think, 33s or so, but I think we'll probably appreciate any rain, but did get well beaten in the Dante, but 100 into 33s. And he's been drawn stall 10, which is the most winning stall number of any stall since the stalls were introduced in 1967. Obviously, that's got no relevance whatsoever, you wouldn't have thought, but some good horses have been drawn stall 10. Last year's winner was August Rodin, Generous, Galileo, The Minstrel, one of my favourites, all drawn stall 10. So at least he's got that going for him. But a bit of each way money at hundreds on God's Window, but I think it would have to be soft for him to have any chance.
There we go. Yeah, God's Window, plenty of money. But yeah, maybe it is just due to the fact that stall 10 that the money's come for this horse. Who knows? But 100-1 into around 33-1 with Unibet. I was going to start with City of Troy, Graham Rodway, but I just want to come to you quickly because Ed's mentioned the Dante there. Ancient Wisdom, the winner of that race, Economics, obviously not going to be running here or in the Jockey Club on Sunday at Chantilly. But if economics was in this race, no matter the price, would he be winning this race?
I'm not sure that I would want to be backing him, Sam, because of the way that he sort of went all the way across the track that day at York. He still looked like a work in progress to me, economics. So I think that they've made the right decision, the William Haggis team, by not supplementing him. Having said that, he might well have been the most talented horse in the race. Certainly bar City of Troy, should City of Troy come back to his 2000, his Dewhurst run last year. But what do we make of him? What's going to happen to City of Troy now from stall one after the appalling run last time? I can't have him, Sam. Can you?
No, it's one of these, isn't it, with City of Troy. We saw what happened last year with August Rodin finishing well back in the 2000 guineas and then coming back to win the Derby in really good style. Such a great two-year-old, and a good man to go to now would be our two-year-old handicapper, Matt Gardner. I mean, Matt, he was so good at two, wasn't he? We've seen him. We got all excited. He's come back in the 2000 guinea. He's really disappointed, but he's still been well supported for the Classic this weekend. What do we make of City of Troy? Is he too short, or has he got the right profile for this race?
Well, they're two very different questions, aren't they? he's really interesting. So I think the way into this is to just for a second forget that guineas run and try and work out what does good look like for City of Troy now? What does a return to form look like for him? History tells us, if you look at the last, any 120 plus two-year-old in the last sort of 25 years, they generally regress as three-year-olds. The average is they regress a couple of pound as three-year-olds. So he was a 1-2-4 two-year-old. That makes him kind of like a 1-2-1, 1-2-2 three-year-old on that sort of logic. The Derby usually takes a performance of about 1-2-3. So he's kind of going to have to be good or slightly better to win an average renewal. That assumes that we are dealing with an average renewal, because last year's two-year-old crop was pretty weak and it doesn't look like a particularly strong bunch of three-year-olds. Now, if you bring back in his guineas run, and it's a case of like, it was so bad, what are the chances of him even getting back to sort of normal on the back of that? I've heard a lot of people say that O'Brien's horses have these kind of up and down profiles and all that sort of stuff. And it's sort of true to an extent, but it's largely just because he runs them so often. That's why, and he's not afraid to get them beat and all that sort of thing. And actually, when you look at it, a lot of them operate in a pretty sort of shallow peak and trough. You know, you might be like talking like 120 down to 110, something like that. It's relatively narrow. You know, getting the City of Troy back, it's a massive ask. And that's before you even think about things like the trip. There's a bit of his pedigree that suggests the trip will be okay, but he's never looked like a Derby horse to me particularly. And the other thing as well that bothers me a little bit is they've sort of clung on to this like preconceived idea of Guineas Derby. And then they were talking about like a 10 furlong dirt race. It ties into the whole commercial like Justify thing. And I don't know. It sort of feels like they should have reset to me and run him in the Irish Guineas last weekend. That would have been the better plan, I think, on the back of the Guineas. So I don't like the trip angle. It's a massive ask to see him get back to where he was. And even if he did, if one of the others takes a step forward, he might not be good enough. So I've got an issue with him. Well, I've got lots of issues with him, and I wouldn't have him as a Derby winner, to be honest, no.
There we go. Yeah, great from Matt Gardner there. So that's two people who aren't going to be fancying City of Troy this weekend. Ed Nixon, just a word from you. City of Troy, will you be fancying this weekend or will you not?
Yeah, I don't mind telling you. I really haven't got a clue. I mean, City of Troy is so far clear, even in the ratings at the moment, which, to be fair, as Matt says, they tend not to be highly rated three-year-olds because they haven't run over this trip and they haven't shown their true ability, many of them. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I'd back City of Troy. Well, I'm not going to back City of Troy, but I think you've got to let him run. And if he wins, he wins. A bit like Augusta Rodin last year, I think. But then you're looking at, well, what's actually going to win the race? I suppose I've always been brought up that the Dante or the Guineas, but the Dante normally is the best trial for the Derby. I can't believe Economics isn't running in it. I think it just tells you what the race is now like. It's not the be all and end or that it used to be. It used to be, I mean, Charmit ran once, didn't he, and then won it. Wasn't that for Haggis, I think, maybe? It's not the same back then and even before that. If he won the Derby, it was a risk reward ratio that was worth taking. It's not now, because there are lots of other races that you can win good prize money, but also you can establish yourself as a stallion. So Ancient Wisdom was beaten 6 lengths by him. I mean, that's a long way to be beaten, isn't it? But I'm actually not going to have a bet in the race. I know it sounds really silly for me to say that, but I just think it's a really difficult race on Thursday, not knowing what the going is going to be. I'm probably going more toward Ancient Wisdom. But if it did come up a little bit rainy, I think I might row in with this God's Window each way. But I'm a big believer in the
price, Ed. You missed the price.
I know. But I love the Dante. I always have done for the Derby. I remember backing a horse called Red Glow. Do you remember Red Glow won the Dante in 88? And then he came fourth in the Derby. But so I'm gonna go for Ancient Wisdom, but it's not a confident selection at all.
Okay. So Ancient Wisdom, not a confident selection, but would be one for Ed. Graham Robway, just quickly before we get on to a couple of the outsiders, Ambiency Friendly, the winner of the Derby trial at Lingfield. Very impressive. We have seen it before, but is Ambiency Friendly in your shortlist or not?
I thought he was very, very impressive that day at Lingfield. And the time was obviously absolutely out of this world, wasn't it? You know, when something looks too good to be true, they say it often is too good to be true. Mm. And I just wonder if for one reason or another, this horse maybe was flattered that day by the way that the race was run, maybe. Or I know he came more towards the stand side in the straight, didn't he? Which can sometimes be the place to be at Lingfield. So I can't help, you know, if you take that on face value, he probably should be favourite. But James Fanshawe, you know, a great trainer, but not really known for Derby winners, not bred to win a Derby, is he, by Glen Eagles? It would just be a bit of an anomaly. But on what you saw at Lingfield, if you believe that face value, he should be favourite. But there's just something in my gut telling me that he isn't going to win. And usually your gut is not too far wrong, is he? Is it?
My point, anyway. He's been totally friendless in the market.
Yeah, looks it.
No one wants him at all. For a horse that's towards the front and won a trial easily, you would have thought there'd be more support for him. But he's one of the top horses that isn't being backed at all.
Yeah, seems very weak in that market, definitely. And Los Angeles, Matt Gardner, one of two unbeaten horses in the field. Ed's saying that this horse might end up going off favourite. We'll have to wait and see. But look, he's got that star quality. Wayne Lorden gets the ride, but it wouldn't be the first time we've seen one of Aidan O'Brien's other jockeys go and win the Derby, would it?
No, absolutely not. No, it wouldn't. I was pretty lukewarm on him after he won his trial, to be honest. It wouldn't be the first time one of these O'Brien horses has caught me out and turned out to look a lot sort of faster and better than I've given them credit for. But I was a bit worried that he wouldn't have the sort of tactical speed for a Derby. You know, stamina is important at a mile and a half there, but you know, these days with a Derby winner, you're as much thinking like Judmont International Champion Stakes as you are Arc, really. You've got to have that bit of tactical speed, and that was my sort of concern with him. I think he'll go around Epsom, the bends, the undulations. I think he'll be fine there. I can't have Ambiente Friendly. I think he'll be too keen on the uphill pull from the start. I think that's the big issue with him. Like G-Rod said, really impressive at Lingfield, but I think it's just this just isn't going to suit him as well. So I'm a bit lukewarm on both of those, to be honest.
Okay, so it looks like we may be shying away from the top of the market, which is never a bad thing if we can find some value and some big prizes here. And we will get into some of the outsiders in the field. And one of those outsiders is the Richard Hannon runner, and the other unbeaten runner in the field is Voyage. Let's find out what Richard Hannon had to say about Voyage in this clip here.
Big weekend coming up at Epsom for the team here. You've got Voyage, who's a 20-1 shot with Unibet to win the Epsom Derby. Now, that might seem quite a big price, but when I look back at your recent record, Richard, in the Classic, you had Humphrey Bogart.
I've never won it.
Who was fifth at a big prize, a cracking run.
Mojo Star was second.
Yeah, at 50-1 after finishing second in the race at Newbury. But Voyage has done even better than that because he won very impressively on his sole start.
They wrote in the paper yesterday, Unibet ambassador Richard Hannon thinks
Bojic has what it takes to win a derby. How would he know? He's never won a derby. You know, but he's, we have no way of assessing exactly what he's capable of. He did surprise me when he won his maiden. Pleasantly surprised me. He travelled unbelievably well. I was very impressed with him when he went to Epsom and he went around with Sam Hawkins. He did that, behaved immaculately, and the ground was the nicest I've seen on pretty much any race course ever. And I do think this is the year to have a go at a derby, because it doesn't look like it's all that deep. But over the years, if you go back and look at derbies, they're full of good horses and stallions, and horses have gone to win arcs, and you know, it's never a bad race. But quite often at this time of year, because it's so early, we don't know what they are. But we are very confident we've got a very nice horse. Whether he's a very good horse, we're going to find out on Saturday, and that's a place to find out. One thing I do think he has in his favour is he's got loads of tactical speed, you know, and he can sit pretty much anywhere, and hopefully he'll settle. You know, he'll have to prove he gets the trip when they go quick. That first bit, first like half mile, that's a big climb. So hopefully he'll settle. If he's too keen on going up there, he'll be in trouble, but hopefully he'll settle, and you know, he'll make us proud and run a good race. I'd be over the moon if he was placed. Don't even talk about winning in case it happens.
So there we go. They have a very exciting horse, but on Saturday they'll find out if they've got a very, very good horse. Voyage, one of the outsiders in the field at around 20-1 with Unibet. Graham Robway, out of the outsiders, Voyage. There are others in here that could definitely throw up a bit of a shock in Dallas Star, even Euphoric, the other Aidan O'Brien runner. Were there any that you've looked at out the bottom of the market?
Yeah, I mean, I really like the look of this race for a bet, Sam, because those at the top of the market to me, you know, I couldn't entertain backing horses like City of Troy and Los Angeles with Wayne Lorden on instead of Ryan Moore and Ancient Wisdom. I mean, he just looked a bit slow to me at York, I thought. And like I've already explained, Ambiente Friendly, well worth taking on. So then you're into the ones at double figures, and the ones that I like, the one that I like the most is Bellum Justum. I thought my initial reaction to him winning the Blue Ribbon Trial, which obviously no horse ever wins that and comes on to win here, do they? But my initial reaction to that was that the second probably should have won Defiance. But then I've gone back and watched it again, and actually Bellum Justum travelled like the best horse in that race, and he was going really well two furlongs out. Kicked on and stayed very, very strongly to the line. His form actually isn't too bad from last year either, because when he won his maiden at Newmarket, he beat Ennis Sherrin, who of course came out and finished sixth in the Guineas, and won, obviously last week, won the Sandy Lane at Haydock. And Bellum Justum was very strong at the finish that day. I do think he's being a little bit underestimated by the bookmakers here. Chief Little Rock, wasn't it, was the horse who finished behind him that day. He came out and won, didn't he, in Ireland quite recently. So the form, albeit Defiance, obviously well beaten in the Lingfield Derby Trial. I can't believe that was Defiance's true form. I backed Defiance that day, really fancied him, and he just didn't show for any one reason or another. I think Bellum Justum is overpriced, so I'm more than happy to be backing him at 25. And the other one that I like at a ridiculous price is Sayadati Sadati, or something it's called. Balding's had a few massive price runners placed, hasn't he, in this race?
In these colours as well.
One was called Hu Yamau, wasn't it? 100-odd to 1. And there was another one about 4 or 5 years ago. I'd have to go back and have a look. Don't forget
that. I rode him as well.
Yeah, for Balding, yeah. And there was also horses like King of Steel last year was 66-1 was second. Mojar Star was 50s when he was placed. He's got form on soft ground, say Sayadati. It used to be always called Sayadati, didn't there? It was trained by Clive Cox. I just want to call it Sayadati, you know, but Sadati. It was last time out, it was well beaten by Caviar Heights, but the time stacks up pretty well, like on top speed figures. The top speed figures, like the second or third best last time out figure on offering the race, and he was responsible for setting the pace, you know. So he went a good solid gallop throughout and finished second behind Caviar Heights, who of course disappointed in the Dante, but again, can't have been Caviar Heights' true form. He's got form on soft ground, Sadati. I think he could run into a place. And who knows, like he might even win. So Yeah, there's a huge straight forecast for you, Sam. Bellum Justum to beat Sedati.
There we go. I'm going to get the 1-2s in a second off everyone. But Bellum Justin and Sedati, the two for Graham Robway. Ed Nixon, the bigger price in the field, the outsiders. Whether Voyage is on your list, I don't know. He's so unknown in this. He could be absolutely anything, couldn't he? But there are any at bigger price that you did look at?
Yeah, Just God's Window was the one I liked.
The
horse that Graham mentioned, the Bellum Justin, he beat as a 2-year old, God's Window, and he does. It does like soft ground, but I probably would have a little bet on in whatever. But I would, if it was soft ground, I think he might be one of the springers. Well, he already is 100s to 33s, but he could go shorter than that for that'd be a good story as well, wouldn't it? Kieran Schumacher in his first real year with the Gosdens, it would be cracking if he could. He's a good fella, Kieran. It'd be good if he could get a really big winner on the board. But yeah, I agree with Graham. The horses at the top of the market, there are holes in them. On what I can see, anyway, and it could be an occasion to back something with a bit, you know, at a bigger price. It's just which ones you go for. There are 16 runners, and there are so many that kind of are the same rating, look the same sort of type horses. So you could mention four or five, but yeah, I'd probably put up God's Window. You've heard what Richard said about Voyage. He does like the horse. Julie Wood owns the horse and he kept on selling to Richard not to take him out of the Derby. So if it wins, I think it's Julie Wood we should be thanking, because I think Richard was going to take him out. But he apparently surprised him at Newbury, and he's they think he's a good horse. But as we said before, it's very difficult to win a race like this with 16 runners going around those bends and with an inexperienced horse. But yeah, it's a really difficult race. We're going an extra place in this race, as you would expect. 16 runners. It's more like a handicap, isn't it? It's just a really difficult race. And I must say, because of the makeup of the race, it's proved quite a popular anti-post event. My traders have told me that in recent years, it's waned as an anti-post event. But ever since the Guineas and the Craven meeting, it's actually picked up. There've been lots of big bets. We've laid some of the biggest anti-post bets on the Derby this year than we've ever laid. And for a variety of horses as well, which just indicate what everyone on this panel is saying. It's wide open.
Yeah, absolutely. And those four plays, that extra age of Unibet could be really enticed, especially with the state at the top of the market and some question marks around the top of the market. Matt, just quickly to you lastly here, maybe not an outside in the field, but Dancing Gemini was definitely one on the shortlist for me, double figure odds. I thought ran a really good race out in France in the French 2000. But like we've all said, there are so many big prices that you've got to give a mention to it.
Yeah, I think of the lot of them, Dancing Gemini is probably the horse that I like the most. I wouldn't be surprised if he ended up being the best of this lot either. I think he should have won that French Guineas. I think he'll fly around Epsom. I think that'll be absolutely fine for him. I've got an issue with the trip. He showed so much speed over 7 furlongs as a 2-year-old, and he travels really well in his races that I'm not convinced he's going to stretch out to a mile and a half, certainly at this stage of his career, even if his pedigree sort of suggests that he should just about stay. I can see Bellum Justum. I can see Macduff stepping up in trip. I'm not sure he'll be good enough, but I can see him. I think ultimately the most solid one, I think, is for this race is Ancient Wisdom, who I was at York for the Dancy, and his knee action, the way that he hits the ground so hard that, I mean, it was only good ground and he sort of handled it, but if there's any more juice in it this weekend, like it's gonna really suit him. The step up in trip, he looked like he needed the run a bit, so the extra couple of furlongs. I don't like the term mudlark because it implies that they sort of relish soft ground, whereas I think actually in most cases it's just that they handle it better. And the Futurity last year that he won was kind of a really good case in point, where Diego Velasquez and Dancing Gemini were sort of bang there like a furlong and a half out, and then sort of cried enough, whereas he kept galloping. And he has won on firmer ground as a 2-year-old. He just handles it better than most of them. So he's the most solid. I do like Dancing Gemini with a view to the future, though, I think.
Okay, there we go. Plenty of horses mentioned. And let's quickly get a 1-2 off everyone then. I'll start off. I'm going to go with Dancing Gemini for the Teal Yard. And Euphoric, the Aidan O'Brien third string, who was second in that Derby Trial Stakes behind Los Angeles, stayed on really well. And I think we'll end up being another Aidan O'Brien shock in the Derby. Graham Robway, 1-2 from you.
Yeah, I obviously like the two outsiders. I like Bellum Justum. I like Sadati. I like McDuff, like Matt says. You know, don't forget Rev Beckett ran Westover in the Sandown Classic Trial. Before that came on to nearly beat Desert Crown. So there'd be my 1-2-3 anyway. Bellum Justum, Sadati, and McDuff. And then, I had God's Window up there as well. So throw him in for the four.
You always do this. When I ask for two selections of Graham Robbo, give me about four or five. Ed Nixon to you, 1-2 from you.
I'm going to go for Ancient Wisdom and God's Window. My contact from the Jockey Club has just got back to me about the ground. Probably be on the soft side of good, but if the rain keeps kicking in, they're not discounting it being soft. So I think the soft ground is getting in, but we are recording this on Thursday, and as we know, lots can change between now and Saturday.
Absolutely. And Matt Gardner, to finish things off, you're 1-2 in the Derby this year.
I'll go Ancient Wisdom, Dancing Gemini.
There we go. Okay, there's your 1-2s for the Derby. Spent plenty of time on the Derby this week, but was worth previewing the big race in good detail. Shortly after this, we'll be covering the other four races on ITV from Epsom.
Want betting on the horses to be anything but flat. With an app that impresses every time out. You're on. Want to watch live streaming of races in the UK, Ireland and around the globe? And get a chance to win even bigger with 3 uni boosts every day on any horses you want. Unibet, you're on.
Welcome back to part two of this week's Racing Postcast, brought to you by the Racing Post, sponsored by Unibet. Sam Hart, Matt Gardner, Graham Robway and Unibet's Ed Nicholson taking you through the action on Derby Day. We now go through the other four races on the card, and we start off with the 2 o'clock, which is the Princess Elizabeth Stakes. This is just over a mile, and Running Line is currently the 7-4 favourite with Unibet. Sparks Fly is 7-2, Breege is 6-1, Royal Dress and Chic Columbine 8-1, 9-1 about the French Raiders City Sea of Thieves, and then we're looking at double figures bar these. I'll kick off with you here, Graham Robway. Who wins the Princess Elizabeth Stakes?
I think Running Lion should win this, Sam, right? But I've been saying that for about the last 4 or 5 runs. I'm a bit of a Running Lion fan ever since she was so impressive when she won at Newmarket last year, beating Sumo Sam. And Sumo Sam came out in front of the form, didn't she, when winning, was it Goodwood, that race on soft ground? And after that, I back Running Lion every single time, including last time at Newmarket again, where I thought she, you know, I was sitting there counting my money as she passed me, because I was down in the silver ring about 2 furlongs down, and she was like 3 lengths clear and looked to have the race in complete control. And then all of a sudden, when I went up to the walked up to the screen to just make sure she had won, I realized that she was actually quite a way behind Stay Alert. And Stay Alert just outstayed her. So she's down in trip here, obviously, to 1.5 furlongs. It was 1.1 at Newmarket, and it's an easy 1.5 furlongs. And she should outclass them, Sam. But we'll qualify that by saying should, because she's a frustrating horse, isn't she? Like, she looks like she's going to win and then she doesn't. And if she doesn't do it this time, I think I'm going to have to, give up on her. But she should win.
Okay, one vote for Running Line. Then Ed Nixon, to you next. I'm sure you're going to be a fan of the favourite here.
Yeah, I'm with Running Line as well. Much the same feeling, as Graham. I'm disappointed, but she has been running in better classes. I mean, this is a drop in class for a start. So she's running theoretically against inferior opposition. She is top rated or joint top rated here at 106. When I researched this, I thought, well, I'm going to have a look at this record at this race and see how many times the Goslins have won it, because they have loads of great fillies and mares over the years. But they've only had 7 runners in it. And they've won once with a horse called Laugh Aloud, which won a few years back, who was rated 108 going into this. I mean, I know it's not a handicap, but just to give you some idea, it was 108. So same sort of horse as the ability of Running Line, but Running Line's been running in better class races. I think that this is the most winnable race that Running Line is running for some time. When I first started doing the analysis, was soft. It's now changed to good to soft. And as we say, it might be between good to soft and soft, depending on what the rain if the rain comes or not on Saturday or before. But she's won on soft. She's actually run well on good to foot, on good ground as well. I thought she was much more likely the winner than the other joint top rated horse, which is Sparks Fly, if the ground was anything but heavy. If it really does come down, Sparks Fly's got a chance. That she really enjoys swimming, this one. She's won 8 out of 11 turf races, but most of them have been on heavy ground and soft ground, as far as I can see. And if it did come up heavy, I think Sparks Fly would be via favouritism, if not winning the race. But I think as it stands, I think you've just got to be a running line.
Okay, running line. That's two votes. And for the hat trick in the 2 o'clock at Epsom, Matt Gardner.
No, not for me. sorry. I mean, look, she like Gerard said, she should win. But when a horse keeps getting beat, admittedly in better races, and then hangs the way that she did at Newmarket, like, that to me suggests that mentally she might be going the wrong way a little bit. And onto a difficult track as well. Like, I've got issues with her there. I like Royal Dress. I backed her a few times last year, and I always felt like she had more to come than she'd shown. And then that was a big PB at Goodwood on a first start for James Tate. She's had relatively little racing on soft ground, but she's got a really good record on it. That was heavy at Goodwood when she won. She beat a dead solid soft ground horse in Novus. Breege was back in third. She came from the back of the field in a race where the finishing sectional was swift. I thought she did well to pick up from behind. You know, she might not be good enough if Running Lion gives a run in, but I've got my doubts about that. And I thought she was pushing double figures, I think, when I looked earlier. So Royal Dress was overpriced for me.
So that's two votes for Running Line at 7-4 and 8-1. Well supported is Royal Dress with Unibet. And this is the money back race as well, Ed, we must mention.
Yeah, money back second or third in this particular race at 2 o'clock. It's an interesting race to offer money back second or third, because I think the favourite's going to probably be well backed if it's not too soft. I can't see much money coming for the other. So, yeah, possibly a good bet to get involved with if you like your offers. Money back if you don't even come second or third.
There you go. Do check out unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions there. Let's move on to the 2:35 then, which is the Diomed Stakes, just over a mile again, a Group 3 contest, where currently Highland Avenue tops the market 3-1 with Unibet and Besto 4-1. Last year's winner, Regal Realities 9-2, Epic Tatus 6-1, Royal Scotsman 8-1, Silver Sword is 9-1, Royal Dubai 10-1, along with Sean at 10-1. What a name for a horse is Sean. Looking at this field, my nap of the day is going to come in this. I'm going to get it out early, actually, but I think Silver Sword's a right bet in here at 9-1. I think he's a cracking bet. He ran some really good races last year. He was actually well beaten by Highland Avenue at Newmarket last year, but did run in a handicap, finishing second at Epsom last season, which was really impressive, and then went on to Pontefract and won in really good style. Now, I think this horse is really improving for the Dylan Cunha Yard, who are having some season, it has to be said. And I just think that he's got this improvement in him. When he goes back up to a mile, and even this extended mile, I think this is going to really, really suit Silver Sword. I've got him down as a horse to follow this season. I didn't follow him first time up because I just thought the trip was going to be too short. But I think they're going to have him primed and ready. Reese Clutterbuck on board. Big fan of this jockey. 9-1, a really big price with Unibet. Really like this one. Matt Gardner, in agreement.
Yeah. Before we did this recording, we were sort of egging each other on about this one, weren't we? as it turned out. It really is. Like, I looked at this race and very quickly ruled out a lot of them. Like, Embesto is more reputation than form. Regal Reality is 9. Royal Scotsman's got loads to prove, I think, after his last couple of runs. Highland Avenue had a shocker out in Dubai, and I don't like Epic Taters either, really. So you're left with like the three outsiders. Two of them I didn't really fancy. So I'd echo everything that you said about Silver Sword. That York handicap he won last year was dead solid. Yeah. I thought his reappearance was really encouraging. Like you say, over a shorter trip, ground will be fine. Yeah. It's one of those where you look at it and you think, I should probably try and pick some holes in this, but I sort of couldn't. So yeah.
Ed, I think he's going to go off a lot short than 9-1. I think the 9-1 of Unibet's really generous. What did you make of this race?
I thought it was a tricky race once again, but I'm going to go for Regal Reality, the 9-year-old. Sometimes age can be an advantage, and this horse has won over the course and distance. won last year, didn't he? I was interested. He raced against Highland Avenue last year, didn't he? And he beat Highland Avenue. I think he's £3 better off for three quarters of length, if my reading of the form is correct. But he is an enigmatic soul. As we saw, he quite regularly misses the break. He did at Chester. I was there that day, and he actually ran quite a nice race in the end because it's difficult to overtake horses at Chester, as we know. And he plodded on for third in a good race. I thought Michael Stout would be getting him ready for this race. He does. The trainer loves this race. No trainer has won this race more times than Sir Michael Stout. He's won it three times. I think there's a couple of trainers that won it three times, but this will put him number one on the list if he wins a fourth. And given that he's won over course and distance, as we all know, it is a tricky course. Some will handle it, some won't. I thought it was fair value around about 5-1, but it's not a strong selection. And I'll be looking at that form of Silver Sword again, given these two judges have both tipped him up at 9-1.
Yeah, we'll wait and see it. We'll wait and see. Last year's winner, then Regal Reality, Fred Nicholson, and Graham Robway. Who are you going to be with?
I fancy Royal Dubai, which is one of the other outsiders here. I don't know loads about his Dubai form, but we have seen Marco Botti win a big race at Newbury this year with one that he got off one of his relatives from over in Italy. He's booked Oshie Murphy to ride it. And last time out, it won a handicap at Maidan. The second and the third went on to finish first and third next time out in the same race. So the form's all right. He finished ahead of Highland Avenue off level weight when they met in a group two at Maidan before that. And Highland Avenue's got to give him £3 this time, yet it's half the price of him. Just purely on value grounds, like, he has to be the bet at double the odds of Highland Avenue, I think, Royal Dubai. I don't know whether he'll handle the ground. He's only ever run once on really heavy ground and he disappointed. But as Ed's already said, it's not probably not going to be heavy. He's probably just going to be on soft side good. You know, it's good ground in Maidan all the time, and it watered. If he goes on it, I think he's got a chance. He appears to be improving. And he's quite likely race. So I'll take a chance on Royal Dubai. It's not a race I like, though, Sam.
Okay, tentative selection of Royal Dubai around 10-1 with Unibet for Graham Robway in the 235. Let's move on to the 310, which is the first of our dashes. And this is the three-year-old dash handicap over 5 furlongs, class 3 event, where Grand Lad is 11-2 of Unibet. Due for Luck is 6-1. Blue Storm and Nick's 8-1. 10-1 about Billy Webster, Sturlason, Mashadi, Mart, and then 14-1, bar these. Now, Ed Nixon, if you tell me that there is no extra place here, I'm going to be very shocked.
Yeah, no, we've got an extra place in this race, competitive race. This a three-year-old only dash over 5 furlongs. And it's an interesting race. There's a race at Chester that will be key to this. The six of the eight that contested that race at Chester on the 8th of May run here, and many of them at the top of the market. Due for Luck came third in that race and is the favourite. If you watch the video on the Excellent Racing Post site, you'll see that he didn't get the best of runs, and he does look like he's flying past a lot of the horses that take him on today. He was behind Nick's, who ran really well and won the race. But the one I'm going to go for is a horse that finished just behind Due for Luck, who also didn't get the best of runs. And at the weights, comes out probably the best, I would have thought. There's lots of pounds going up and going down. It's quite difficult to work out. But Blue Storm was running off a mark of 88, and he runs off a mark of 88 today. The others ahead of him have gone up 2 or 3 pounds, and he only finished just behind. And he didn't get the best of runs either. So Blue Storm also got a good draw in 20, and he's doubled the price of the horse that finished just ahead of him in Due for Luck. So on the issues of price and the fact that his handicap mark hasn't gone up, I'm going to stay with Blue Storm in what is a very competitive race.
Okay, Blue Storm. Yeah, looks a decent bet there. Ross Orion on board. Graham Robway, the three-year-old dash. So competitive. We've got extra places with Unibet. Are we going to need them?
Yeah, definitely, aren't we? It's a big guessing game, isn't it, really, as to which of these youngsters is going to take a big step forward on the day, really, Sam. But it'll be a thrilling race to watch. I came down on Enchanting, who is trained by Andrew Borden again. Holly Doyle rides this time, not Oshie Murphy. And this horse is keen. So that is either going to be a good thing or a bad thing. But I think going down five furlongs at Epsom, if she's ever gonna get herself over the line in front, then you know it'll be freewheeling down this hill, just letting her go. She did actually win on heavy ground at Beverley last season, having raced keenly. But her last two runs, again at York last time, she just wanted to go like a nutcase from the start. The previous time at Wolverhampton was the same. She just looks like she'll be ideally suited by a real fast five furlongs down Epsom's helter-skelter track on heavy ground, because she won on heavy ground at Beverley, or soft ground, should be okay. So obviously a guess, but I think if you're planning this race, it's always going to be a guess, because you just don't know how good a lot of these three-year-olds are.
Enchanting then, 14-1 currently with Unibet. Looks a good each way back there with the extra places. And Matt Garner to finish us off in the three-year-old dash, who do you like?
Yeah, I thought the top two in the market were the most interesting, Jufaluk and Grand Lad. I do like Grand Lad. I was really impressed with his all-weather win. He then went onto the turf at Goodwood, and again, really impressed with him. He pulled clear with a banging form rival called Kiss and Run, who just sort of probably not progressive, but dead solid. He only went up three or four for that. It's a quick turnaround, and this is obviously a much stronger race. They'd be the sort of issues. But the way he went through that Goodwood race, I thought he was going to win much more convincingly than he did. I think his relative inexperience probably stopped him from doing so. If he's learnt again from that, I think he, in terms of handicapping, I think he could be a cut above the rest of them. But this is tougher, and the quickest turnaround would be an issue. And like the others have said, it's competitive. But I did like Grand Lad.
Okay, Grand Lad for Matt Gardner, 11-2 towards the top of the market. On to the final race then we look at this week. It's the 3:45 at Epsom, and this is the Aston Martin Dash Handicap. Five furlongs once again, where we see Clarendon House, Silky Wilkie, top of the market, 5-1. We've then got Democracy Dilemma, 6-1. Looking for Linda's also 6-1. Live in the Moment, 9-1. Lethal Nymph, 10-1. 11-1 about One Night Stand, Dream Composer, and 12-1. Bar these. It won't get much quicker than this, Graham Robboy, will it?
No, this is the one, isn't it? The three-year-olds will warm the track up for them, and then we've got all these old favourites hurtling down Epsom straight. I fancy Looking for Linda. Now, Drawn Stall 1, you would usually say on soft ground at Epsom, that's curtains, but in recent years, there's been a couple of winners from this race from stall one. There's also been one win from stall two. So I'm not going to let that draw put me off, Sam. I mean, he's been in fantastic form without winning. You know, he just keeps running into one. Night on Earth was the horse that he bumped into. He would be no doubt going like the clappers again in this race from a long way out. Then he ran at Ripon. He ran well. He was good second at York last time. I mean, he just is a sprinter who's absolutely winging along in superb form. And if there's one who deserves to get his head in front, it is Looking for Linda. On RPRs, he is gradually progressing. His last time out one was his best run. If he can just improve a little bit more on that, and he doesn't get kiboshed by the draw, then it could be a winner. Another one for Holly Doyle. Imagine if she did the sprint double, Sam. Holly Doyle on Looking for Linda and Enchanting. They're my two in the two dashes.
The dash double from Graham Robway for Holly Doyle then. Ed Nixon, I said that I'd be shocked if there was an extra place in the three-year-old dash, but I'd be really shocked if there wasn't one in the Aston Martin dash.
Yep, you got the double up. There is an extra place in the Aston Martin Dash. It's a race that I particularly like, I must admit. It's always helter-skelter, isn't it? And I'm sure records have been made in this race before, the fastest five furlongs in the world, they say, isn't it, Epsom? But it won't break any records this week, I don't think, with the softish ground. And going back to the draw, they've been winning from both sides of the draw in recent years, but it very much used to be that the highest stalls were favoured for this race. There are only 15 runners. Normally it's the max 20. Caspian Prince won it three times. He won from stall one or two. So you can do it on stall one or two, but I think I'd rather be with a horse that's drawn higher than lower. And the one I'm going to go for, as long as it isn't soft, is Clarendon House, who in this week, when we talk about the Derby, he's owned by Midland Park Racing, and the guy that set up Midland Park Racing, Tim Palin, started it all off because he had a 25p each way bet on a horse called Tenoso to win the 1983 Derby, which he did. So if Tenoso hadn't won the Derby in 83, these Midland Park colours, which are based upon Manchester City's colours, which he supports, may not have been in the racecourse. They've had so many winners, and this Clarendon House is one of the better ones. He ran at Bath as a two-year-old, and I actually spoke to Tim about him and said the speed figure he put up was really, really decent, and he was a very fast horse. And he's proved it. He is very fast, but it was always thought he had to go from the front and he didn't like soft ground. Well, he probably doesn't like soft ground. Good to soft, he can get away with, I think. But he is a very, very fast horse. This track should suit him. And last time he did something we've not seen from him before. He came from behind, which obviously gives us a bit of an advantage, because if he does miss the break, and there'll be plenty of horses that will be going helter-skelter, it doesn't mean curtains. At least we know he can come from behind as well. So Clarendon House, best horse in the race, I think undoubtedly I can't really say that, but I think it's the fastest over four furlongs anyway. I think he'll get home over this fast five furlongs, as long as it isn't soft. I would worry about him getting home on soft ground. The Nunthorpe is the big hope for this horse, I believe. You can see how much they hold him in high regard. He finished down the field a couple of years ago in that race, but he is a Group 1, Group 2 performer, I think, at best.
Absolutely. Top weight in the field, Clarendon House, then Fred Nicholson and Matt Gardner finish us off in the Dash Handicap.
Yeah, I'm with Ed. It is really competitive on the face of it, but I think this is just a case that Clarendon House wins. It's really interesting here, because this is, when you get to the top end, this is where the handicapping system gets a little bit fuzzy, in the sense that, you know, if you think back to Truchem, which I'm sure Giroud will remember, because I think you handicapped it when he won that Northumberland Cup, you know, he won that off 120. And in theory, that could be like a 130, low 130s performance, but you know that it's not. Like, it's sort of like he's on, it's more on the balance of his form, like a mid 120s performance. You know, Clarendon House here, he won at York off 105, he's up to 111. And in theory, he's going to have to be a mid 120s horse to win this. But the reality is that probably repeating his York form will be enough, because the handicapping system can't quite reflect how the edge that these sort of top end handicappers have. I take Ed's point about the ground. I think he might be all right on it. At Goodwood, if you look at the way he travelled, I think he just needed the run more than anything else. He went with all of his normal zest up until about a furlong out. He just got a bit tired. So I think maybe he's aged a little bit. Conditions are fine for him. I thought he did really well at York, as Ed mentioned. He did miss the kick a little bit, and I'm not sure they rode him more patiently on purpose, but it showed a new dimension. I thought he did really well to run down looking for Linda. I think five furlongs here, it's such a specialism that if he can show all of that early speed and get into a rhythm, I think he's just going to be really hard to peg back. This time last year, I thought he'd win this before winning group races, and I think he'll do that this year. So, Clarendon House, really solid, I think.
Okay, two votes then for Clarendon House and one vote for Looking for Linda from Graham Robway. And there we go. There are big race previews on the ITV card from Epsom on Saturday. Shortly after this, we'll be getting other selections as well as our best bets for the weekend.
Get 50% off your first 3 months in the Racing Post Members Club. As a member, you get access to the digital newspaper exclusively available to members the night before. You'll get daily tips on the likes of Pricewise, Tom Siegel, Robbie Wilders and Paul Keighley. Enjoy award-winning journalism from the industry's best writers and watch replays from all British and Irish racing, now available within the Racing Post app.
So here we are for the final part of this week's Racing Postcast. Sam Hart, Matt Gardner, Graham Robway and Ed Nicholson. Now giving other selections and best bets for the weekend. And we'll start off with other selections this weekend. Graham Robway, I'll come to you. What is there away from the ITV cameras?
Yeah, there's a couple of staying races at Doncaster on Saturday, which I've already had a look at. One of them is in the 4:38 there. There's a horse there called Churchella, who won over course and distance last time out. He just appears to be getting better and better and better. She does. She's just a filly who's absolutely in flying form. And won her on the all-weather, and you thought, oh, she won't transact back on, to turf, but then looked even better on turf when winning over the course and distance last time. I mean, the handicapper has whacked her up £6, but she's still one of the more lightly raced horses in the field. And the only worry, I suspect, is the ground. Of course, it's going to be soft side of good, and it was fast ground when she won there last time. But provided she goes through the ground, I think Churchella will go and win again. And the other one is in, there's an interesting three-year-old stand race at Doncaster, the 6:15. With some really big stables represented. Charlie Johnson's got a son of Cracksman in there called Open Secret, who has been running a bit like a Charlie Johnson runner often does, you know, blasting off in front and then not seeing it out. But last time it was over a mile and a quarter at Beverley. I think possibly he had to go a little bit harder than he would have liked. I think that stepping up to a mile and 6.5 furlongs might well suit Open Secret. It's the sort of thing that I'm always looking for when it comes to these stayers, is often these staying races are not won by the horses that stay. I know it sounds a bit silly, but you're looking for the horse that's got the pace. Because they're often run inefficiently. They're often slowly run races that really wind up. So you've got to have a little bit of boot on you. And I think that Open Secret has definitely got the tactical speed to turn into a decent stayer now that he's going up, 4 furlongs in trip? Yeah, to run over a mile and 6.5. So that's in the 6:15 at Doncaster, Open Secret. And the 4:38 is Churchella.
There you go. Two great ones from Graham Robway. And if Open Secret doesn't win that 6:15 at Doncaster on Saturday, then I'll be backing this horse at Glorious Goodwood, I'm sure. Matt Gardner, anything else for you this weekend?
Yeah, Graham's done a couple of stayers. I'll do a couple of sprinters. Mr. Wagyu, 5:50 at Epsom. Really good record in this race. Won it in 2022, was third in it last year. He's looked in really good form this year. He ran a cracker at Epsom. Ran okay at York, which he probably just don't have the legs for York these days, to be honest. He probably wants softer ground as well, which he's going to get. He's just under 2 years without a win, but his handicap mark's not going to be the stumbling block this time around. So I fancy it to be his day. And then in the 4:45 up at Musselburgh, you get these sometimes as a handicapper, and it's basically just a difference of opinion between me and the BHA. A horse called Circus Lion, who BHA have given him an opening mark of 80. We rated his course and distance win last time 89, and it could have been low 90s on time. He wasn't beating much, but he just blasted away. His previous form as a two-year-old is pretty solid. This doesn't look the strongest of races, and sometimes you've just got to back yourself, don't you? So, yeah, Circus Line in the 4:45 at Musselburgh as well.
There he goes. So Mr. Wagon, the last Epsom, 4:45 at Musselburgh. Circus Lion. That seems an interesting one there, Matt Gardner. And Ed Nixon, maybe nothing else from you, but any offers that we need to pay attention to this weekend?
Yeah, we've got a bumper load of offers. We've got 21 extra place races throughout the course of Saturday, including the last three in ITV. The Derby itself at 4:30 will be an extra place race, 16 runners. And as we've said previously, it is a competitive affair. Plenty of different opinions here on that race. So plenty of offers at Unibet this weekend, and then obviously just really looking forward to seeing the Derby and what comes from it. There's always a good horse that wins it, but I'm really hoping something sensational wins it by a long way, because I think the race needs it.
I think we all are. So yeah, head to unibet.co.uk for all the terms and conditions and to look at all of those offers, especially on Saturday morning. Right, time for the best bets this week, and then who do the panel really fancy this week? I'm going to kick things off again. The 2:35 Epps and the Diamond Stakes. I'm going to be putting up Silver Sword at 9-1. Like I say, second in the handicap here last season, then went on to improve, won that York handicap in really good style, like Matt said. I think this horse just enjoys going left hand. I think Epsom suits, and back up to a mile, I think he could perform here at 9-1. Matt Gardner, your best bet this weekend?
Clarendon House in the dash. Yeah, don't worry about the big field. Don't worry about it being the dash. Just wins, I think, hopefully.
There we go. Graham Robway, your best bet this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to go for the big one, the Derby. I'm going to go for Bellum Justum, Sam. I think he's absolutely certain to run well. Ed's giving us extra places. Back him each way. I'll be absolutely gutted if he's in the first four.
There we go. And Ed Nicholson, finish us off with your best bet this weekend.
I'm going to go with the running line in the 2 o'clock at Epsom. Been running against better class animals of late. Top rated horse in the race. Think he's got she's got everything in her favour.
There we go. So there's our best bets this weekend. You can see them on screen now. And these will all be boosted at the time of this podcast and video uploads. You can head to unibet.co.uk and get the boosts there. And that's it for this weekend show. I've got to quickly spin through the panel as I always do and find out what's going on this weekend. Matt Gardner, what's going on this weekend for yourself?
Well, you won't believe it to look outside now, but we'll forecast a bit of okay weather this weekend up here. So a bit of cycling, bit of golf, hopefully. And I might squeeze in watching the derby as well. We'll see.
Yeah, do what you can. Graham Robway, are you going to be at the derby?
Yeah, I'm planning to be there. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I haven't been to the derby for a few years, but very much looking forward to seeing a derby in real life. Yeah, like I say, first time probably in a decade, I reckon.
Yeah, I might get dragged along to it. I'm not sure yet. And Ed Nicholson,
come on, Sam,
sure
you know you want to.
I'm sure you'll be there at Epsom this weekend, Ed.
I'm at the derby on Saturday, but I'm equally looking forward to being at Chepstow on Friday.
There we go. Chepstow on Friday. If you see Ed there on Friday, do go up to him and say hello. And that's it for this weekend show. Just a quick mention, if you did want to watch the French Derby from Chantilly, it's on Sunday. Definitely worth a watch as well. Diego Velasquez topping the market there. An exciting race on Sunday. You can watch that on Sky Sports and look forward to that. But big thanks to our viewers. As always, do like, comment, share and subscribe. Thanks to the panel. And we'll see you again next weekend. Thanks for watching.